You're up.
Okay, Rebosai. So we're up to Sif Beis of Simen Tzadi Dalet. Simen Tzadi Dalet, Sif Beis. And I will beg you, if at all possible, not to leave early, or if for some reason you have to leave early, to ask someone what we discussed, because I just want to discuss some scheduling at the end of this year. So in Tachav Kaf Bikdeira, Shnei Pe'amin, Lo Noda Bein Tayim, Tzarech Shnei Pe'amim Shishim. If you stick the spoon in the pot, meaning a fleishik spoon in the milking pot, or a milking spoon in the fleishik pot, I forget what the example was here. Officially, it was a milking spoon in the fleishik pot, or the opposite. Okay, twice, and you don't realize in between, means you stuck it in twice and then realize the mistake, then you need more than 60 times the spoon for Bittel, you need 120 times the spoon for Bittel. The obvious implication is if you knew in between, which would have to mean you made two mistakes. You mistakenly stuck it in, then you realized, then you mistakenly stuck it in again. Very absent-minded. Then you only need 60 times the spoon. While the Rama says, again, that either way you only need 60 times the spoon. So the question is, what's the svara of the Mechaber, and what's the svara of the Rama? So first, let's start with the case the Mechaber says. And then we'll get to the diuk of the case the Mechaber doesn't say. What's the case the Mechaber says? Let's say, for the sake of simplicity, the spoon equals 1 ounce. Obviously, I mean a fluid ounce, because I mentioned a few times, and we will officially see this in the Pesach Tshuva. He'll quote different deos in Simen Tzadi Ches. But all the measures of Shishim go by volume, not by weight. So I mean a fluid ounce. And let's say the spoon is 1 ounce for the sake of simplicity. So how big a stew do I need in order to be mevatel it? So the first case is if tachav beis pe'amin ve'lo noda bentayim, says the Mechaber, I need 120 to be mevatel it. Says the Rama, I need 60. So let's talk about the Mechaber. Why do I need 120? After all, there are only 1 ounce of milk bleos in the spoon. There aren't really even 1 ounce of milk bleos. The spoon is mostly metal, or wood. It's not mostly milk. But since the spoon is 1 ounce and we don't know how to figure out how much milk bleos they are, we treat it as an ounce of milk bleos. So an ounce of milk bleos, why would you need 120 ounces of chulin to be mevatel it? So the Shach, everyone explains. What's the problem? The problem is that we don't have a clear Masorah on when bleos come out of a kli, when bleos go into a kli. We have a clear Masorah when they might come out of or into a kli, right? In a kli Rishon, they might come out or come in. In a kli Sheni, we'll see, they won't. If it's Yatza lettuce bone in a kli Rishon, they will. If not, maybe they won't. We actually skipped the discussion, Sif Aleph, what about kli Rishon under Yatza lettuce bone? We'll come back to it later in Simen Kofei. Etc., etc. But we never have a guarantee when the bleos will go from the spoon into the cholent and from the cholent into the spoon. So we always worry about the worst case scenario. Just like in Simen Tzadi Beis, if hey, we don't know how the kippah of milk will spread its taste through the pot, we always worry about the worst case scenario. Here also, says the Mechaber, we worry about the worst case scenario. So what's the svara? The svara is, you know what, maybe first we'll stick with the Mechaber. Okay, the svara is that we're worried there are two tchivos. So, tchiva aleph, what might happen in the first tchiva? What might happen is 59/60 of bleos chalav go from the kaf to the tavshil. And 59/60 of an ounce of bleos basar go from the tavshil into the kaf. Why is this the worst case scenario? Because if all the bleos chalav went from the kaf into the tavshil, then the kaf would now be clean, be kosher, right? The kaf would be a fresh kaf. Right, but the worst case scenario is 59, and
if only 58/60ths or 57/60ths, then it just wouldn't be as big of a number. The biggest number of cholov that you go from the kaf into the tavshil and still leave the tavshil problematic is 59/60ths. We'll see in a moment. This is tchiva rishona. Then, achar tchiva rishona, what happens? What happens is you now have a kaf has 1/60th ounce of blias basar, blias chalav, I mean, because remember, 59/60ths went, which means 1/60th stayed, right? And 59/60th ounce of blias basar, and therefore what happens if you have something which is not less than 1/60th, but exactly 1/60th milk and the rest of meat, in three letters, what happens to that? Kana, right? So therefore, it becomes 1 ounce of blios of Hanan. And now, here's step one, step two, step three. Here's the tchiva shnia. When you stick it in the second time, what happens? When you stick it in the second time, 1 ounce of blios Hanan go from the kaf into the tavshil. So if you want to know how much Isser went into the tavshil, so let's see how much Isser went into the tavshil. Here we have 59/60ths of an ounce plus 1 ounce. It's not exactly the same. First, it's chalav going into the meat stew. Then it's Hanan going into the meat stew. But they're still both part of basar v'chalav. When chalav goes into basar, or when Hanan goes into basar, that's all in Isser basar v'chalav. So you have a total of almost 2 ounces of Isser. So if you have 2 ounces of Isser, the stew, how much does the stew need to be vassal? 2 ounces. Therefore, obviously, right, it's only batel if the tavshil is 120. Okay, that's how the math works. Why should we be chosesh that exactly the worst possible thing happened? 59/60ths of the blios went out from the spoon into the tavshil and got replaced by 59/60ths blios of meat. Like, maybe it was a little less, maybe it was a little more. The answer is, since we don't have Masor, what happens? And we don't have, I assume scientifically, we could figure out what happened with modern instruments. But we don't have a mechanism for determining what happened. We always have to assume the worst misafik. That's the general rule of Blios in Basar B'chalav and Taruvos. And that's why the Mechaber needs 120. Okay, because of this weird scenario. Now, we just want to ask a few things. Three questions. Let's ask three questions. Number one, what about the following case? I know, we still owe this Sara. Tachav beis pamim v'noda bein tayim. You stuck it in twice, but realized in between. Obviously, that makes a difference if you realize in between, because the Mechaber bothers to say, you didn't realize in between. What difference would it make? Then, even the Mechaber would say 60 is enough. The question is why? We just had this problem. Right? The fact you know and you realize in between doesn't change anything I put on the board in green. None of that changes based on whether I knew in between or I didn't know in between. So what difference does it make if I know in between? So what's the answer? Why does Yediya make it batel more easily? So, in three words, can anyone tell me the answer?
In batel Isser. No.
Three words, anyone tell me the answer? It's going to be hard, because this is like a whole shas sugya. It's a whole shas sugya which I don't know if we'll have time to explore properly. But it lives. It's a shas sugya that lives in Simen Tzadi Tes. What's the three-word phrase I'm looking for? Okay. There's a shas sugya that lives in Simen Tzadi Tes. It doesn't get a lot of press in Simen Tzadi Tes, even though it's a giant shas sugya. And it is the following question. What happens when a little Isser, less than 1/60th, Let's say I have 100 ounce. Soup. 1 ounce of Isser falls in. It's about the 1 in 100. And then another ounce of Isser falls in. And then I realize. Say, hey, it's Bottle. Then another ounce of Isser falls in. So, do we say, well, now that's 1 in 100 once, so it's for sure Bottle. Or do we say, no, 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 now it's 2 in 100, so it's not Bottle. So this is the biggest fight in the world, Machlokas Rishonim, right? The boxing match on this side is Kama Bottle, which is in Hebrew means Rishon Batel, meaning the first by first is Batel one by one, right? Ma'aver Rishon. It's a Batel one by one, so therefore 1 in 100 falls is Batel, another 1 in 100 falls Batel, another 1 in 100 falls Batel. And many Rishonim say this only works if you have a Yediyah. How do you know it's called different steps? Maybe it's just one long step? The answer is when you realize that ends one step, and then when you forget again, it starts another step. So if I have, let's just take an example, which, you know, we're not going to understand the whole sugya now, but let's take an example. I have kosher orange juice, 100 ounces of kosher orange juice. Now I have 1 ounce of treif orange juice. Okay, how do you have treif orange juice? Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, not so hard. There's lots of treif orange juice around. I mean, not in your supermarkets, but theoretically. You can have Orlo orange juice, you can have Shvias orange juice, according to some shitas, you can have Teva orange juice, you can have Truma orange, you know, you can find lots. So, 1 ounce of treif orange juice falls in, it's Batel 1 in 100. Now I have 101 ounces of kosher. Another ounce of treif orange juice falls in, it's Batel 1 in 101. Now I have 102 ounces of kosher orange juice. Another ounce of treif orange juice falls in, it's Batel 1 in 102. Now I have 103 ounces of kosher orange juice, and it keeps becoming mutter more and more and more. Right? That's called kamakama bottle. One by one it's bottle. And once one is bottle, it can't be unbottle anymore. Like that one is bottle. It's in my pocket. It's safe. Now the next one is bottle. And now the next one is bottle. And now the next one is bottle.
Would we say it makes a difference why bittle's happening? If it's like bittle's arriving or it's bittle because the bittle's happening because of town?
Yes, but I don't want to get into all the shittas yet.
Doesn't it stop at all? I mean, I know, like,
maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe yes, maybe no. The answer is not necessarily. Meaning, it's not an absolute limit to the shitas. It depends which Rishonim ask. Okay, but there's another shita. Even though it says kamakama batel in many places in Shas, there's another shita. The other shita is called Chozer V'Neor. Okay, it's actually not folks who've shown them what root the word Neor is from. It doesn't really matter. Let's agree that it's from waking up, right? Haskel was sort of the Hashem ki. I don't know what ki neor mimon katsho. Maybe that's what it means there. Whatever it means there, that's what it means here. We'll read that in Torah in 4 weeks. The let's say it means waking up. It either means waking up or becoming strong. Doesn't really matter. So meaning the second ounce reawakens the first ounce. 1 ounce of treif orange juice falls in, quaff the 1 in 100. Another ounce of treif orange juice falls in, it reawakens the first ounce. Now it's 2 to 100. 2 to 100, if you know math, is only 1 to 50, and it's not bottle. So there's a tremendous machlokas Rishonim. There are steers in the sugyas. Do we say kamakama bottle? In which case, you could end up eating a lot of Isser, and it would all be heter. Or do we say, no, chozer v'neir? It all reawakens the other Isser, and you have to consider it as one big Isser. Okay, this is a big machlokas Rishonim. We'll see many shitas, even on the pages of Shulchan Aruch, there are many shitas. Do we say kamakama batel? Do we say chozer v'neir? Does it depend what kind of situation it is? As Yaakov suggested, this is a big machlokas. So says what's the svara of the mechaber here? The svara of the mechaber here is because yediyah creates kama batel. If I stick it in twice and I don't realize in between, then that sticking in twice happened in one episode. So you're not going to say, like, the first time is batel and then the second. No, it's one episode. Until I realize it's one episode, what does it mean when I realize? When did you realize the shayla happened? Then it becomes something which we want to figure out an answer to. And then it becomes a shayla. Until did you realize this?
it's all one shayla. So if 1 ounce of orange juice falls in, another ounce of orange juice falls in, and then I realize those 2 ounces are one shayla. So it's also. But if 1 ounce falls in and I realize, then that shayla's over. That ends the, that like lowers the curtain, ends the scene. Then another ounce. So says Mechaber, if I don't know in between, it's one big shayla. But if I realize in between, that lowers the curtain, ends act one. Act one is batel.
Sounds like Hilchot Shkagos a bit.
It does sound like Hilchot Shkagos a bit. Yes, exactly. That is a good parallel. Right? Hilchot Shkagos also, right? Every time I know, that ends the scene. Or the actor, whatever it may be. Now, so Yediya makes kama batel. That is the that is the svara of the Mechaber. And therefore, if I know in between, then right now that 59-16 ounce is batel. It's not reawakened anymore. Because I realized. It doesn't matter if I know your day or if I called the rabbi yet. Once I realized that there was a shayla, and I could ask a rabbi the psak, again, that ends that shayla. The fact that I haven't asked the rabbi the psak yet doesn't matter. The shayla is still over because I have the information and I could get the answer just by consulting a shulchan aruch. Now, we have a new shayla, 1 ounce. Great, I only need 60. 59-60 is batel and 60. And now 1 ounce of batel and 60, and it doesn't go and reawaken this and add the other 2 ounces, because there was a yediyah in between, kama batel. The kasha which the shach asks is, question is, but in Simen Sadi Tes, the Mechaber holds Chozer V'Neir, even, bless you, with Yediyah, even if you know in between, in Simen Sadi Tes, we pass in Chozer V'Neir. Like, don't try this at home. Besides, like, being about Lips L'Chachil, right? You can't try L'Chachil. It doesn't actually work. We pass in Chozer V'Neir. Even if 1 ounce falls in and I know, second ounce falls in, it reawakens the first ounce, and now it's 2 ounces. And we don't rely on this shita kama batel. Okay, that's right, even another Rishon, but we don't pass it that way. So, why all of a sudden here do we rely on kama batel, if over there we don't? So the answer is, and here it, you're going to have to hold cup a little to follow. The answer is very pashut. The answer is that, back to what Yaakov suggested. Maybe it depends if we're dealing with the case of Ta'am or we're not dealing with the case of Ta'am. Says, what's the real problem with kama batel? The real problem with kama batel is that, let's say I have my 100 ounces of orange juice. In falls, or betty, 100 ounces of vegetable soup. 100 ounces of vegetable soup. In falls an ounce of lard. It's batel. In falls another ounce of lard. We're going to say, kama batel, it's batel. In falls another ounce of lard, it's batel. In falls another ounce of lard, it's batel. By now, I really taste the lard in the soup, right? So the problem is that you can't say kama batel when it changes the taste. You could say kama batel as long as it doesn't change the taste. Because that's just a theoretical question. You can't say kama batel against the metzias. If it's nirgash metzias, if you can taste that there is lard in here, and that the lard's not batel because you taste the lard, when you can taste something, you don't say kama batel. So therefore, says the shach like this. Says the shach that we would say kama batel unless the iser changes the taste. Okay, this is a sheet of many Rishonim. Unless the iser changes the taste. Really, we do say kama batel. Except we don't in like real life cases of lard in vegetable soup, because then it gets ridiculous. Think about it. By the time the fifth or sixth ounce of lard falls into my vegetable soup, it's tasting mamish like pig. So I'm going to say kama batel. And then he adds, unless the iser changes the taste, or the case is similar to a case where it would change the taste. Now here's where you just have to think logically for a moment. Okay, what I wrote there is allegedly, or the case is similar to a case where it would change the taste. What do I mean by this? Let's say lard falls into the vegetable soup. I have 100 ounce vegetable soup. Lard falls in once, lard falls in twice, lard falls in three times. I can't say kam gadol batel, each ounce is batel, because when we break, it tastes like lard. Let's say I have 100 ounces of orange juice, tray for orange juice falls in once, twice, three times. I don't taste anything. But it could easily be confused with the case of lard into vegetable soup. Like lard into orange juice into orange juice could be confused. And therefore, as a drabanan, we don't say kamakama batel. But, says the shah, here's the chah. In this case, where I stick the spoon once, twice, three times, etc. Not only will I never change the taste of this cholent, think about it. You can say fancy chanans and chalosas all day long. There's a fact. It was 1 ounce of spoon in a 100-ounce cholent. It's never going to make it taste like milk, right? It might make it taste like chanan, but it won't make it taste like milk. There's just, physically, there's only 1 ounce of milk taste, and there's 100 ounces of cholent. So not only won't this ever taste like milk, because what happens? First, it gets 59, 60 ounces of milk, and then it gets 1 ounce of chanan meat. But it can't. It's not even similar to a case that will change the taste. Why? Because pouring an ounce of treif orange juice, an ounce of treif orange juice could be similar to an ounce of treif lard, an ounce of treif lard. But sticking a spoon in multiple times could not even be confused with actually pouring food in. Like, it's just sticking a spoon. No case of sticking a spoon multiple times will add up to changing the taste. And therefore, since it's not even similar to a case that will change the taste, we say kama kama bato. That is the way to understand this logically is, why does each time you stick the spoon in to the meat make more iser? Because each time you stick the spoon in, you now have chanan meat that makes more iser. But by definition, the only reason sticking a spoon multiple times makes more iser is because it chanans the thing that you stuck it into the first time and sends it back into itself, which means it can't change the taste. So therefore, that's the explanation of the shot. That's probably shot in the, for sure, shot in the machaber. If you use yudia, you say kamakama bottle, even though we don't usually say kamakama bottle, that's because the taste changes if you keep putting in more iser. Or at least, it's similar, very similar a case where the taste could change. If I have a 100-ounce cholent, and I stick the 100-ounce of meat stew, right, 100-ounce meatballs, and I stick the milk spoon in many times, it'll never change the taste. Not even any other case of sticking a spoon in many times change the taste. It's just not even, you wouldn't even confuse it with a case of actually adding a different taste many times. And therefore, we say kama kama batel. That's shot in the machaber so far. Now, let's make it a little more complicated, but not as complicated as we can make it. The shach has a diuk. The shach has a diuk in the machaber. Now, this is a diuk. You don't have to agree with this diuk. The primogodim quotes the bichadosh, who doesn't like this diuk.
But here's the diuk. Three. What about Tachav Gimel Pa'amim Vilo Noda Bain Taim?
Okay. The Ramah, we know. The Ramah only requires 60. He never says more than 60. I mean, for the Ramah, if you have a 60-ounce cholent and a 1-ounce spoon, it'll never be a problem. For the Machaber, 60-ounce cholent, 1-ounce spoon, Noda Bain Taim, you'll be okay. No dubbing time, you'll be a problem. What about three times? Would the machaber now say you need 180 to be about to lift? Or would 120 be enough? So Shachli Tzidik and the machaber. The machaber only says twice. Why didn't it say three times? It could be three times. That's a diuk. You could say, okay, because he's not going to cover every number that exists in human history. Why does it say four times? Why doesn't it say five times? The answer is, how much can you say? But the Shach makes a diuk. So the Mechaber, right, the shot here in Sifkatan, Dalid says, why didn't they say, he says better, why didn't they say, talk of Harbei Pa'amim, sorry, Harbei Pa'amim Shishim? He should have written, if you stick it in X times, you need X times 60 to rebattle it. Yeah, it's not the strongest diuk in the world. But this is the shach shita, mechaber l'fi diuk. Hashach says only 120, not 180. Why? Right. So obviously there's no chanan if you do one more step. Why? Now here, the Pri Chodesh argues. You can look in the Pri Megadim for why people argue on the shach. I don't want to get into it that much. But let's imagine we are continuing, right? What happens? Step four is achar
tchiva shnia. What happens after tchiva shnia? Well, let's make the worst case scenario, right? Here, you know, let's put it here. Let's write step three. Is tchiva shnia. What's the worst that will happen? Is 59/60th ounce of Blias Hanan goes from the kaf to the kedera, and 59/60th ounce of Blias Basar goes from the kedera to the kaf. And then what's going to happen? Step four, achar tchiva shnia. What's going to happen? The 1/60th ounce of the kaf has 1/60th ounce of Blias Hanan and 59/60th ounce of Blias Basar. And therefore, becomes 1 ounce of Blios Hanan, because the 1/60th Hanan makes the 59/60th ounce of Blios Basar into Hanan. And then, five, in the Tchiva Gimel, you can then have 1 ounce, I mean, if you want to continue, you make it 59/60th right now, but let's stop at three, of Blios Hanan go from the Kaf to the Kedera. In which case, you would say, plus 1 ounce, and your total would be almost 3 ounces, which would mean you need 180 mevatalim. Why don't we say this, says the Shach? He says very pashut, because look at step four here. 1/60th ounce of Blios Hanan plus 59/60th ounce of Blios Basar will become Hanan. Hold on a second. At this point, are we mixing milk and meat? No, we're mixing Hanan meat and meat. Mixing Hanan meat and meat, that's not called the tarobus of Basar and Chalav. That's called the tarobus of Isser and Heter. What's the rule of mixing Isser and Heter according to the Mechaber? Do you have Hanan when Isser mixes with Heter according to the Mechaber? That's the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim, there's no Hanan b'shari surin. So that's how the Shach explains. The Shach explains this step doesn't happen because there's, according to the Mechaber, there's no Hanan b'shari surin. And that's called shari surin. Now we'll see later on in Simen Kof Gimel, there are those who question this. But the Ikra Din, it seems very posh. When you mix milk and meat, that's called basar b'chalav. They both become Hanan. When you have Hanan meat, and now you mix the Hanan meat with meat, that's not mixing milk and meat. That's mixing treif meat and kosher meat. Treif meat and kosher meat is called shari surin. I know it comes from basar b'chalav, but when you mix Hanan meat and regular meat, you're not creating a taste of meat and milk anymore. You're just creating a mixture of treif meat and kosher meat. Treif meat and kosher meat is called shari surin. Okay, that's why the Mechaber does not go that far to require 180 or 240 or 300 or 360. But 120 is enough, according to the Shach. If you want to look at the Prima Gadim here, he quotes the Bechadish and argues with others who argue on the Shach. It gets very complicated. We will leave it for now. So we now have three cases according to the Mechaber, right? Two are Mefurish. One is Mefurish in the Mechaber. Second case is very clear in the Mechaber. The third case is a Diuk in the Mechaber. We just haven't explained yet the logic of the Ramah. What's the Svar of the Ramah? Why isn't the Ramah worried about this whole thing? Why isn't the Rambam worried about this thing? So here it's not so clear. What's the Svar of the Rambam? Why isn't he worried that first most of the Blias Chalav will go out, and then it'll be replaced by Blias Basar? You take it out, it becomes Hanan. And then when you stick it in again, another spoonful of Isser goes inside. Why is the Rambam worried about that? So here there are two Hesberim. Why the Rambam is not worried about that. One is the Trumas HaNeshin. Right, it could be that Thurma himself, because he quotes at the end of Sif Beis, Trumas Adeshin. The Trumas Adeshin says the following two tzadim lahakel. He adds the other two tzadim lahakel. The first tzad lahakel is going to be surprising to us, because we've been assuming not that way until now. But okay, That's how we become educated, by learning things that we didn't think until now. Yes?
I have a question on the answer to the shaft. If I understood it right, you could say how Hamlet, unless he gets to change the taste, you have to ask a guy to...
No, because it just has to be similar to a case where we change the taste. So whether it actually changes the taste or not, like as long as it's, I mean, even if it happened to not change the taste, but if it was the kind of number, if it was the kind of case that could have changed the taste, correct. It just has to be the kind of case that could be similar. Like, let's say it turns out in this particular case, like it just happened to be really weak and didn't change the taste. It doesn't matter. Similar to a case that could change the taste. So basically, anytime you have actual food mixing with actual food, that's similar to a case that could change the taste. Anytime you dunk the spoon in many times, that's not similar to a case that could change the taste. And what the chef now succeeded in doing is making a different category for food mixing with food and a different category for multiple dunkings of spoons, which is a perfect way to explain the macabre. Now, what about the Ramah? So there are two scores for the Ramah. One is the Trumas HaDeshen, which is quoted partially in the Nosei Kalim here, but not totally. The Trumas HaDeshen says there's a sheet that we never heard of yet, and which is definitely not the sheet that we're assuming by the Tipas Chalov that landed on the outside of the Kedera that caused us all those nightmares. What's the Shita? It's the Shita of, it depends up here if you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi. If you're Ashkenazi, it's the Shita of the Ravon. If you're Sephardi, it's the Shita of the Ramban. Now, it's not a tall sofer that like Ravon and Ramban, you know, actually are only one letter different and the letters look sort of alike. No. It's not a tall sofer. There's actually this Shita was independently a Shita of one of the Rishonei Ashkenaz and one of the Rishonei Sfarad. There's also a few more Rishonei Ashkenaz and Rishonei Sfarad who took the Shita from them. But they were the originators. Both the Ravon, who the Trumas HaDeshen quotes, and the Ramban, who the Sfaradic Rishonim quote, we'll see later on in Simon Tzadiches. Both the Ravon and the Ramban hold, there's no Hanan in Blios in a pot, only in actual foods. Again, that's super against that whole Simon Tzadi Desif, Hey, Vav, Zion, of the Tipa landing and making Hanan in the walls of the pot. Okay, they have a new Shita. There's no Hanan and Blios in the walls of the pot, only in visible food. Only in visible food. So says the Trumas HaDeshen, it's a tseruf. Yonah, watch out.
Wow.
Coincidence.
Caught incident.
Yeah, I guess so. I wouldn't put this on his top 10 list. Seraph of Bays Stadim Lehakel. What are the Bays Stadim Lehakel? So Aleph, the Ravon, and the Ramban. The Trumas HaDeshen quotes the Ravon, not the Ramban. No, that's his. He knew Rambans. He was late enough that he knew all the Rambans. But the Ravon is the more Ikar Masorah for him. Yeah, and the Yeshivas, like in Shana Al-Shanabet, we don't learn so many Ravons. But the Ravon is considered very chashuv in the Halacha L'maisa, Rishonei Ashkenaz. The problem is, one of the reasons we don't learn Ravons, they actually try to open up the Ravon. The Gersa is very bad. I guess there are only one or two manuscripts, and they weren't such good copies. But the Rishonim, according to, didn't have a copy of the Ravon, but the Ravon was quoted by all the other more famous Rishonei Ashkenaz, like his grandson, the Ravya, and like the Mordechai, etc., etc. Okay, so, the Ravon and the Ramban hold that Ein Hanan v'Blios. If there's no Hanan v'Blios, then this whole problem doesn't exist, right? There is no step of, then it becomes 1 ounce of Blios Hanan. There are no Blios Hanan. Hanan can only be actual food you can hold in your hand, not Blios. Okay. Of course, that's not why we're Mako, because we all know we don't pasuk like that Shita. All of Simon Tzadi Beis was not, half of Simon Tzadi Beis was not pasuk like that Shita. So for sure we don't pasuk like that Shita. Rather, we'll see, there are a few places in Shulchan Aruch where if you're mitzarif that Shita with another Shita, we're Mako sometimes. But we never Mako like that Shita. We don't hold like that Shita. We hold like the Smag and the Smak and everyone, the Maharami Rutenberg and everyone we saw in Simon Tzadi Beis, that there is Blios, Hanan Blios. So, what's the second Shita? The second Shita is, this has to do with that last Taz in Simon Tzadi Beis, is the Manda Omar Hehakaf achar shehotzi uha uha min hakdera chashiva klisheni. Ah, there is a mandal amar. Remember, when you take the ladle out of the pot, is it a klibishin or a klisheni? Ah, it's machlokas, the suffix, maybe. There's a mandal amar that when you take the spoon out of the pot, it becomes a klisheni. If it becomes a klisheni, you can't have chanan in a klisheni. Right? Klisheni is not a vashel. It doesn't make any mixture of taste. So there's glios in this spoon. While it's inside, it's not chanan. And here's, okay, a phrase you'll see this word in the Achronim, although not a ton in the Achronim on the daf of the Shulchan Aruch, but in the later Achronim a lot more. It's called mekushar. Mekushar from the Lashon Kesher. While it's in the pot, the spoon can't become chanan because it's connected to the whole pot. And in the whole pot, the chalav is batel b'shishin. Once you take it out of the pot, now it could become chanan. After all, it's 1 to 59 ratio, and that can totally become chanan. Problem is, once you take it out of the pot, it's a klisheni. And a klisheni cannot create a mixture of taste and can't make chanan.
In the pot, though,
too. Mekushar. In the pot, since it's connected to all the other food in the pot, the chalav is batel b'shishin. Meaning, while it's in the pot, you can't say how much glios are in this spoon, let them become chanan on their own. While it's in the pot, it's connected to the pot, and therefore it can't become chanan on its own. Once you take it out of the pot, it's a klisheni. So therefore, we have two tzadim lahakel, two tzadim why it doesn't become chanan after you take it out the first time. Number one, there's a Ravan and a Ramban, and others. I don't mean the only one, they're just the fathers of the two families, who say there's no chanan in glios. And number two, there's a mando amr, it's a klisheni, and a klisheni doesn't cook, so it can't make chanan. And meaning klisheni doesn't combine things, or they weren't combined yet. It doesn't make chalos, it wasn't made yet. And therefore, because of those two tzadim l'hakel, we don't worry. That's the first derech to explain this rema, the trumas edeshin. We'll see a little later on that can't be the right shot, because the gra has a different shot. So here, let me just finish. Two is the gra in simen tzadiches sefkatan cha. Do you guys have some cuttings in your gras?
Yeah.
Great, great. So the gras, Sadi, has some cuttings. Yes?
So show a different reason that the ladle is in the pot surrounded by the soup isn't the Rishon.
Yes.
And
but while it's surrounded by the soup, that's why he introduced the word makusha. Mm-hmm. What I mean by this is, while inside, there's no chanan because it's makusha. I'll explain that word in a second. After it's removed, there's no chanan because it's a klisheni. Ah, now, do we assume a ladle that's removed is a klisheni? No, remember, we assume a ladle that's removed is a suffix klivishon. So we don't rely on beis. We don't rely on aleph. But if we put aleph and beis together, that's two tzadim l'hakel, we rely on it. Right, Ravadi would call this a Saint Seika. Maybe there's chanan and blios, maybe there isn't. And even if there is chanan and blios, but maybe this is a klisheni, so there's no chanan. Therefore, we're mekel. We do not call this a Saint Seika. We call this tutsdag l'hakel. And you need someone like Posek on the level of Trumas Hadesh from the Ramah to say, well, this is one shita, which we don't rely on itself. This is another shita we don't rely on itself. Do we rely on both of them put together? I don't know. You have to judge exactly the weight of this shita, the weight of this shita, put them on the intellectual scale. And I wouldn't have known on my own, but they know how to make that a judgment, how to make that shikola, literally, and come up with a kula. One second, what do I mean by mekusher, Yossi? I mean that while the spoon is inside, it can't become chanan because it's still connected and dissipating into the whole pot. And therefore, the whole pot makes shishin being vatalit. So while it's inside, it's connected to the rest of the pot. What do you mean? It's in a pot of 100. It can't make chanan, it's 1 in 100. Once you take it out, now it's by itself. You look at how much is left in that spoon, and now it's a klisheni.
Why
are
you
second
step then?
What?
Why are you second step then?
What?
Because
once you take it out, it's not makusher anymore. Now maybe it has a 1 to 59. What?
The spoon itself is trafe, but the actual pot should be fine.
Ah, but if the spoon then becomes trafe, then when you stick it in the second time, it's hoser in air.
We only need it for this specific case.
Yes.
Is makusher agreed upon in every other case? We've been assuming makusher until now.
Yes, but Makusha only applies to kelim, not to foods. Meaning, kezayis basher, the yorshal cholov is not the cholov in that kezayis basher is not Makusha. That was simin tzadi beis sef aleph.
I thought you said it was.
Yeah, because the cholov in tzadi became chanan.
Okay.
And it wasn't Makusher, but yes, we assume that.
It happened outside.
Maybe what?
It could happen when it was not Makusher. It became Chanan.
No. If you dip a piece of meat in a pot of milk, the milk inside that meat is not Makusher.
Oh.
Because it gets... Because it's more Be'en. I would not have known how to figure out any of these things on my own. They're all just the sowers of the Rishonah. Okay. That is, now, what did the Gross say? The Gross says a different story. And here, I need to tell you one piece of background information. This background information is assumed by everyone you're going to see in the Beis Yosef. If you look at Rishonim, you're not going to see in the Beis Yosef, such as the Baal Mor Mzach, and you'll see it's not so Pashat. But every Rishon you're going to see in the Beis Yosef in Siman Tzadik Ches will agree with this. Why do you need Bitl B'Shisha? Why is it Rove enough? Why do you need Bitl B'Shisha? Why is it Rove enough? What? Because the time, because Chazal made a, not everyone agrees to this, but this is how we accept. Chazal did some experiments. They said, like, in what ratio can you still taste something, in what ratio can't you? So obviously it all depends on the details. But they said, well, let's give a rule of thumb. And they took all foods that are commonly treif and mixed them with all foods that are commonly kosher and discovered anything less than a 60th you can't taste. Anything more than a 60th, that's where you can, you might be able to taste, depending on the circumstances. So they made a rule, Bitl B'Shishim. Why do you need Bitl B'Shishim? For things that change the taste. What do we call, here, I need one more background here. That rule is called Tam Ke'ikr. Yitz just shared with us, right? That if you taste something, that's like the ikr. And here's the rule. Min B'She'eno Mino. Taro is mimishing two things of different tastes, lard and vegetable soup. This has ta'am, changes the ta'am, and this needs 60 mida oraisa. How about min bimino? What about treif orange juice and kosher orange juice? It's never going to change the taste. It still tastes like orange juice. So, min bimino? No. It's batel berov min haTorah. Remember, according to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, it's not batel berov min haTorah. But according to us, it's batel berov min haTorah. Means no one, who you will see in the Beis Yosef, holds that min b'mino and min she'eino b'mino are the same. Rabbi Yehuda, the Machmer Tanna says, min she'eino b'mino is batel. Min b'mino is not batel even in a gazillion. And we all, min she'eino b'mino is batel b'shishin, because you have to make sure there's no taste. Min b'mino is batel berov min haTorah. However, that's not the halacha l'maisa. It needs 60 midrabanan. Anyone want to guess why the rabanan would be gozer? That you need 60 to mivatel min bimino?
Atu.
Min b'she'eino mino. So basically, what the Gros says is what the Shach said about kamakam batel, the Gros is saying about the shir batel. Says the only reason min bimino needs 60 is gzera atu min b'she'eino mino. So, says the Gra, very pashut. Says the Gra, this is min b'she'eino mino, right? Milk into meat. This second time is min b'mino. It's chanan meat into meat. Right? There's not much milk left at this point. Only 1/60th. So 1/60th, 59/60th, so only one. Right, the second time is only chanan meat into meat. Says the Gra, very pashut, says, when the Rabbanan made a gzera that min bimino needs 60, they were only gozer in case of min bimino that are like cases of min b'she'eino mino. Again, basically the same thing the Shach said as to why they weren't gozer, gozer mineir here. The Gra says, they weren't gozer in shishim here. They were only gozer on actual, adding a new food to a mixture. Only if you actually pour orange juice into orange juice, that'd be confused with pouring lard into orange juice. If you actually pour trafe wine into kosher wine, that can be confused with pouring trafe wine into brisket. Right? So that could be confused. But if you dip your spoon the second time, what could that be confused with? Right? But not... dipping spoon the second time.
That's enough, Camino, though. You need slightly more than that.
You still need rope. Well, you have rope.
What?
Can I get the spoon also now? The second time around, you need, can I get the spoon? To get rope, can I get the spoon?
Yeah, but you'll always have rope, can I get the spoon? Because if you work out the calculus, each time, like the amount of this, each time this, it circulates. So each time the spoon absorbs, it absorbs some that was already Isser and some that wasn't Isser yet. So I think if you work out the calculus, you'll always have a rove against the Isser.
Okay.
Right? You know, it's like that famous problem where, you know, you take a, you add an ounce of juice and then take out an ounce of the bucket. You add an ounce of juice, take out the ounce of the bucket, add an ounce of juice, take out the ounce of the bucket. In the end, it'll still be mostly water because you keep taking out juice. Okay, those who know calculus understand what I'm talking about. Those who don't will take my word for it. Do you know calculus?
I thought I did. But
oh, okay. Then the chisaron's in me. Then the chisaron's in me. What I mean, there will always be rove against the chanan meat. Why would there always be rove against the chanan meat? You'll say, each time I stick it in, I'll make another ounce of chanan meat, and eventually the chanan meat will be the rove. No, each time I stick it in, I absorb some things to make them chanan. But as there gets more and more chanan meat in the stew, I'm absorbing some meat that was already chanan. And so I'm only making less of it, chanan, for fresh. So I think it'll work out. Okay, in any case.
Second dip, you don't need more than, like, there's exactly 60 times the spoon.
There's exactly 60 times the spoon, and in the second dip, now I have a 2 to 60 ratio. That's much less than rove, right? That's clearly about the rove.
Oh, okay.
Right? And then the third time, I'll have a 3 to 60 ratio. Oh, what if I stick it in 30 times? But it won't really be 30, because it'll be redundant. There'll be some redundancy. So I don't know. You work out the calculus and tell me what it comes out to. How many times would I need to stick in the spoon to get rove Isser, if ever? Okay, work it out. Let me just review what the Gra is saying, then we'll have to move on. Says the Gra like this. Really, the second time should be Batal Barov. Ah, b'chazal v'gozer b'tal b'shishim amin b'mino. That's only case of min b'mino that can be confused with case of min b'eino mino. So if I pour food into food, that's min b'mino, that can be confused with pouring food into food, that's min b'eino mino. If I dip a spoon once, that's min b'mino, that can be confused with dipping a spoon once, that's min b'eino mino. When I dip a spoon twice, that second time cannot be confused with anything that's min b'eino mino. The only problem, dipping the spoon the second time can only add more Isser of mino. It can't possibly be eino mino. Think about it. If I have a spoon of milk and I dip it in and 59, 60 ounces of milk goes in, I can't dip it again and make more milk go in. There is no more milk to go in. I can only make meat that got kanan to go in. So since, according to the Gra, since you can never possibly dip the spoon twice and change the taste, right? Which is a problem in Shein Omino. Because every time you dip it in, you're just recycling more chanan meat that started there and putting it back in. Since they can never change the taste, therefore they weren't gozer shishim on it and they left it in Bethel Barov. So according to the Gra, the Mechaber and the Ramah hold parallel shitas. The Mechaber holds they were gozer Bethel Barov shishim. Just they weren't gozer, kozer Renayer. And the Ramah holds they weren't even gozer Bethel shishim. Why not? Again, the one chap of this Gra, which is the same chap as the shach, is that this case is different than all other cases, because when you dip the spoon in twice, the second ounce, by definition, could only be min b'mino. You can't have a second ounce of min b'sheino mino. There isn't any more eino mino. The only second ounce could be the min b'mino that was in the pot, went into the spoon, took it out, became chanan, then went back into the spoon. Meaning, putting in the second time can only recycle what was in the pot in the first place, chanan, and goes back in the pot. So by definition, it can't change the taste. The Mechaber, according to the Shach, says, since by definition it can't change the taste, we say kamakam bato. The Gra's Pshat in the Ramah says, since by definition it can't change the taste, we don't even require shishim in the first place. You don't even kamakam, they weren't gozer bittel shishim in this case. So they're only gozer bittel shishim in a case which is similar to a case that could change the taste. Okay, you'll have to think about that and we can discuss it more. I know these are subtle svaras. Let's move on to Sif Gimel. Vitalov, or deputy someone? Sif Gimel. what else? Is there anything else I want to mention here? Sorry, get out of your way. Yeah, the Piskei Tshuva does have an interesting discussion here. It's a Tzitzit Daled. What if I stick the spoon in this pot once, and then stick it into another pot, and then stick it back in this pot? Now, in this case, he thinks you would need 120 even according to the Ramah, because I stuck it into this pot once, then I stuck it into a second pot, and now it got totally fresh taste that wasn't recycled from this pot. So in that case, it's like totally fresh taste, you would need 120. I don't know how common that is. So let's move on to Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel should be much more straightforward. Im yei shishin levat lakaf. If the tavshil is 60 times the kaf, then, can I erase this song?
Yep.
Right, now we've left sticking in twice lane. Luckily, since we're Ashkenazim, for halakha maisa purposes, we can forget everything about sticking it in twice. Because you always only need 60. So now, Sif Gimel is going to discuss two cases. One case is, if, let's say, the spoon is one, the chalavi spoon is one, and the tavshil basar is 60. Right? Then, what's the story? Then it's very simple. The tavshil is mutter, because 60 to 1. The kedera is muteres, because the kedera is cooking kosher tavshil, so what could be the problem? However, the kaf is asura. Why is the kaf forbidden? Because it has blios of chalav and blios of basar. And not only that, at least according to the Mechaber, as soon as you take the kaf out of this pot, it will now have blios of basar chalav and will become chanan. So, therefore, this kaf is asur. Let's read this inside then. Im yei shishin levat alakaf, hakdir of tavshil mutarim, aval akaf asur bein im basar bein im chalav. The kaf is forbidden both for meat and for milk. Lefishi blu ami basar b'chalav. Because it has full of a blia of basar b'chalav. There is a strange shachirin of katan ches. I'm not going to chazer the shachirin of katan ches because no one understands what he's saying. All the Achronim point out that they can't make sense of the Shachas of Katan Ches, so we'll skip the Shachas of Katan Ches. If it confused you, you should just know it confused all the Achronim, it confused me, and I don't have shot either. So, let's just read what we do understand. Aval HaKaf HaSor Beinim Basar Beinim Chalav Lishu Blu Mi Basar V'Chalav Afilu B'di Evedo Seres Im Chazru Utz Chavuha Bein B'Basar Bein B'Chalav Kol Zman Shehi Bas Yoma. Okay. Excuse me. And what's the story with this calf? It is, now here's an interesting one. I mean, if you then use it later for milk, the milk is usser. Use it later for milk within 24 hours, the milk is usser. Because you now have a meat spoon, because it was just used in meat, and you put it in milk. If you use it later for meat within 24 hours, the meat is also. Okay, that's relatively straightforward. The controversial part is, now, the Taz points out, we're not going to hazard this. The Taz says, why don't you say that when you stuck it into the meat, it kashered out all the milk? So the answer is no, that's Bala Itterland. We know that we don't hold that, right? For all the reasons, as the Shach says, that I discussed earlier. But let's look at the Shachs of Katan Yud. Here is a fascinating case. This is a very fundamental machlokas. Let's make ourselves a timeline. The spoon was chalavi. How is the spoon chalavi? That means it was used for chalav, right? So let's say, when was it used for chalav? It was used for chalav used for chalav at, let's call it, 9 o'clock a.m. Mondays. And then it was used for basar. Let's call it, 10 o'clock p.m. Monday. Now, Within 24 hours, you have a problem. Now, let's ask the following question. Let's say it was used for milk. So, if it was used for milk, it will make that milk usser until when?
Wednesday used for milk.
If it's used for milk, will it make that milk usser? That depends.
So,
if it was used for milk before 10 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, then what will happen?
Usser.
Right? Because it's within 24 hours of stuck. You stuck it in meat, and less than 24 hours later, stuck it in milk. What if it was used for milk after 10 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday? Then the milk is mutter. Why? Because it ain't a minyola. It hadn't been used for 24 hours. That's the shmizy part. How about if it was used for meat? How about if it was used for meat?
Before 9 a.m.
So, two cases are easy. If it was used for meat before 9 o'clock a.m. Tuesday, that meat is usser. Why? It was used for milk in less than 24 hours, used for meat.
And the meat at 10 p.m. doesn't take that out.
No, because we say it doesn't kasher. Why doesn't it kasher? Because either it wasn't boiling, or it wasn't fully inserted, or because milk can't kasher meat, maybe we drop on it, all the reasons we said earlier. Okay, so what if it was used after 10 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday for meat? Then pasha. Obviously, the meat is mutter, because it hasn't been used for 24 hours. What's the interesting question?
After 9 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't figure out what question I'm getting at this point, then there's a fundamental problem, right? What about between 9 o'clock a.m. and 10 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday? Here it's interesting. The milk blios already ain't a ben yomo, but the meat blios are ben yomo, right? So what do we say in Shishi? The milk blios aren't ben yomo, but the meat blios are ben yomo. So what do we say in such a case? So here we have a machlokus. Now, you could tie this to other things, but I'm going to just tie it into one thing. Says the shach. So, says the Shach and the Darkei Moshe, he quotes. He says, the Rama doesn't say anything here. Chaver just says Ben Yomo. But Ben Yomo since when? Ben Yomo from the milk or Ben Yomo from the meat? We're not sure. But the Shach quotes the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe is found here. Sorry. Yes. The Shach and the Darkei Moshe say... They say it's usher. Why? Because what blios are still ben yomo here in this case?
Usher.
Because the blios of basar hanan are ben yomo. Right? Technically, I should say the spoon is ben yomo from the blios of basar hanan. Meaning, enechanami, the taste of the milk has expired by now. But the milk made the meat chanan, because it made it basar b'chalav. Now it has chanan meat taste that is ben yomo. And therefore, chanan meat into meat, and it's ben yomo is a problem. That's what the Shach says in Sifkatan Yud. Perish mishas hatchiva afilu ein ben yomo mishas shibish b'chalav. Kevich ha'yisabas yomo shaskiv rishon anasis nevelo v'yoser chakach. It's less than 24 hours since it became nevelo meat. However, he says not everyone agrees. He quotes the Bach, who disagrees here. Says the Bach, it's mutter. Mutter. Because the bleus of milk are not ben yomo. The bleus of milk are already old and tasteless. So therefore, it can't asher more meat. That's the machlokes in the Shach and the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe is the first right here versus the Bach in the Shach of Katan Yud. This is a very sophistic machlokes. We actually saw this machlokes in Tzadi Beis, but I didn't comment on it at the time. And we'll see it again in Simon Kof Hei. What's the Shach going to say to the Bach? Not going to. What does he say to the Bach? Who cares that the Vlius of milk aren't Ben Yomo anymore? The Vlius of Chanand meat are Ben Yomo. What's the Sheet to the Bach? This is the fundamental machlokes in all of your day between the Shach and the Bach. You could, if you want to, you could theoretically analyze it as like a local issue here. But this is a fundamental. The machlokes is this. We'll see, okay, we'll see some phrases we'll associate it with a little later. The machlok is when we say Hanan, that meat and milk together become Hanan, is that Hanan permanent? Well, that's the whole point of Hanan, that it's permanent. But what do we mean by Hanan? So, milk plus meat equals Hanan. So says the Shach and the Darkei Moshe, you know what Hanan means? Hanan means the meat itself, obviously the same for the milk itself. I shouldn't say obvious. There's a Havamina in Daf Kof Ches that maybe only the meat is Asur, not the milk and Basur Chalav, because it says Lo Savash Lo Gedi, Bit Chalav. But we paskin the meat and the milk. The meat itself becomes permanently Usher, no matter what. That's what the Shach says. The Shach says the meat itself becomes permanently usher no matter what. What does the Bach think? And the Taz, but the Taz isn't here. The Taz, he hints at this in Simon Tzadi Beis, but it's mostly in Simon Kof Hei. Taz here follows the Shver. Says no. The meat itself becomes permanently usher, even if the ratio of milk inside it becomes less than a 60th. But only as long as there is still some milk inside it. Okay. You should be surprised by the Bach and they're not surprised by the Shach, probably. Right, the Shach says, Hanan means what you thought it meant. Once meat is cooked with milk, it becomes usher forever, and the milk doesn't matter anymore. It just became a piece in the vela v'zehu. No matter what, it's a piece in the vela. Says the Bach and the Taz. The Taz said this in Simon Tzadi Beis, but he didn't say it clearly. He only says it clearly in Simon Kof Hei. And the Shach also says it clearly, most clearly in Simon Kof Hei. Says the Bach and the Taz, no, Hanan doesn't really mean it turns into Nevela forever, inherently, no matter what. Nothing's that strong. Hanan just means, even if you cook it together with other foods, and the ratio of milk inside becomes very little, because the milk gets diluted more and more, and even if there's no longer a 60th of milk in it, there's only 1/100th of milk in it, or 2/100th of milk in it, or 1/1000th of milk in it, or 1/1000000th of milk in it, it stays inherently Asur Basur B'Cholov, as long as there's some milk in it. But there still has to be some milk in it. Meaning, the Shach thinks Hanan means the meat becomes the vela regardless. The Taz thinks, no, the meat becomes the vela as long as it's mixed with milk. The Chiddush of Hanan is, as long as initially it was mixed enough to give a taste, even if the mixture gets diluted, it stays Hanan. Nafgamina is two cases. Nafgamina is number one, our case. What if the Tam Cholav becomes Eino Ben Yomo, and here we're going to make an assumption, a tam that's Eino Ben Yomo is as if it disappeared. Right? You don't have to make that assumption. But let's make that assumption for now. Right? Becomes Eino Ben Yomo, and therefore it's not very small. It's zero now. Right? Which equals zero. Eino Ben Yomo is zero taste. It's not down to 1/100th or 1/1000th. So the Shach says, nope. The Basar stays Hanan. And the Bach says, nope, the Basar is no longer Hanan. Meaning, Hanan is actually reversible according to the Bach and the Taz.
Well, they wouldn't say that midirabana is the asr.
No, they wouldn't.
The same way that we find that in a video of a pot is also the cooking.
That's only the chachila. Here we're talking about b'diavad. The other nafkamina is the following.
It's the same thing if the basr would become in a meal, correct?
What? If the basr would come in a meal, the chalav would stop in kana. Yes. Now, the other case is the following case. You need to know a piece of background for this. The background is kacha. The background is as follows. We have a mesorah that b'lias don't go. We'll see how much we follow this mesorah l'maisa. But we have mesorah b'lias don't go from a chaticha to chaticha without rotev. B'lias do not travel from a. Remember we learned b'lias don't travel from a kli to a kli. B'lias also don't travel from a solid piece to a solid piece without gravy. Now, what do you mean by b'lias? If I put a piece of ham, a hot piece of ham, and I roast it next to a hot piece of, you know, kosher l'mahadrin meat, the taste of the ham goes to the meat without rotif. But if I have a piece of kosher meat that got a blia of ham in it, like a roasted ham next to kosher meat, now this meat has a blia of ham. And then I take that meat with a blia of ham and roast it next to another kosher meat, the blia of ham can't travel from one piece of meat to the other without broth. Meaning an external blia doesn't travel without broth. So here's the following case. What if you have the following case? Here you have meat, basar, with blios of chalav, and it's touching pure basar. What's the metzias? The metzias we have mesorah. Where we get this mesorah, we'll see. But the metzias is clear. B'metzias, the tam basar travels, because that's not an external plia. But the tam chalav, that's a very bad drawing. And it's a little color. Let's try this better. What travels here? Only tam basar, not the tam of chalav. Okay, we have mesorah then, two dry pieces. Only the taste of the thing itself travels, not the taste it absorbed from elsewhere. Okay? You don't have to understand that mesorah. You can understand it on some very basic intuitive level. You don't have to understand where we got it from yet. That's our mesorah. Now, here's a fascinating question. This basar became chanan. But then, into this next piece, came the tam basar with 0% tam chalav. So, is the next piece asur or not? Says the shach. The bottom piece is asur. Why? Because it got tam chanan. Because it got tam of chanan. Says the taz and the bach. Bottom piece is mutter because the tam that it received is no longer chanan because it has 0% milk in it. Meaning, what if this is the question, like, efshel soto asr, chanan. Even if you squeeze out 99.99% of the milk for this meat, it stays asr. What if you can take 100% of the milk out of this meat? Does that undo chanan and turn it mutter? Shah says, no, you can never undo chanan. Bach and Tah say, if you take out 100% of the milk, you can turn it mutter. How can you ever take out 100% of the milk? You can't. Meaning, maybe with a magic spell. But we have no mesorah as to how to take 100% of the milk out of the meat. Except in these two cases. If the milk becomes eino ben yomo, then it's 100% gone. Or, if that taste goes between two dry foods, two dry hot foods, the piece next to it, only the tam basar travels without any of the tam chalav, with 0% chalav. So, and this is the shach in Siman Tzadi Beis. What is this case? This is the case of the ri. One piece sitting on another piece, dry out of the broth. The Taz says, and the Bach says, the Bach in Siman Tzadi Beis, which we didn't read, unless you read all the Bachs. And the Taz say, yeah, this bottom piece is mutter. This is the ri's case. In the ri's case, the piece under is mutter. Said the shach, in the ri's case, of course, the piece under it is usher. It's usher, kedena tila. Dry foods affect each other, kedena tila. So that was a machlokas that I didn't focus on at the time in the Siman Tzadi Beis, the Taz said and the Bach said explicitly in Sadi Beis, and they'll say it again explicitly, all in Simchah Hei. This body in the Riz case, and the Rotev is only down here, so it's dry. This bottom piece is totally mutter. The tam that came into it stopped being Hanan, was no longer Hanan. Shach said the bottom piece is also Kedena Tila. Okay, that is a very crucial machlokas. This will come up again and again.
So is it fair to say, according to the Shach, that he just used Hanan as a new Bria?
Correct. For the Shach, Hanan is a new Bria. For the Taz, Hanan is a mixture of Basar and Chalav, just without regard to ratio. It's two fundamentally different ways of looking at Hanan. Yes. Okay. That is the first half of Sif Gimel. Let's go on to the second half of Sif Gimel. Second half. V'im ein shishim. This is an easy one. Excuse me. Batala, I'm sorry. Sure, sure. Can you give me this board so I can do the second half of Sif Gimel? I really need cold medicine. The problem is I don't believe in it. And I know enough science to know that if I don't believe in it, it won't work. So, the answer is I should just start believing in it. Okay. For now, when I believe in it, if anyone has cold medicine. No, I'm joking. My wife wants to give me cold medicine. I don't want to take away that. What about the second case? The second case is you don't have 60.
So you survive and see.
Sadi, Dalid, Sif. Where are we? Gimel now? Yes. Gimel, R2. Here you have a Kaf, Chalavi, which is 1. And here you have a Tavshil, which is 59. So now what happens? 1 to 59 ratio, it's all Bas B'Cholav. And it's Basmachal of Mamish Midoraisa Asrahanah says the Shulchan Aruch. Vim Ein Shisha Makol Asrahanah Afilu Akadera. Everything's Asrahanah. What's the Dinel, the Kaf, the Tavshil, and the Kedera are all Asurim Behanah. Okay, what does it mean for the Tavshil to be Asrahanah? That we understand full well. The Tavshil is Asrahanah. You can't eat it, you can't sell it, you can't feed it to a guy, you can't feed it to your dog. Interesting, big machlokas in the Taz Sif Katan at the end of Sif Katan Dalit. Can you feed it to a stray dog? What do you think? Can you feed it to a stray dog? Let's say you're a real good buddy, right? You're a Rachma Vakal Maisav. So you want to feed it to a stray dog. Okay, I'm not getting into the ethics of this now. You know, sometimes feeding to a stray dog is Rachma Vakal Maisav. Sometimes feeding to a stray dog might be achorious on your neighbors when the dog keeps hanging out on your block. But let's say you want to feed it to a stray dog in a way that's rachma v'alcha maisav. So, is that mutter? Is that hana'ah to feed it to a stray dog? Reasonable question, no? Think it's a reasonable question?
Should it depend if it gives you hana'ah or not?
So, should it depend if it gives you hana'ah or not? Right, but we have to sort of define halacha. Obviously it gives you. You wouldn't feed it to a stray dog if you didn't want to. Right, we have to define what counts hana'ah. Says the Taz at the end of Dalid, quoting the Isser Veheter and the Marshal and Toras Chatas, that is a lot of big guns, right? He says, you're not allowed to feed it to you're not allowed to feed it to a stray dog. Because that's considered Hana. What's the Hana? What do I benefit from the stray dog eating? It's not my dog. And it's not like, if I feed it to a guy for free, I benefit. Because the guy is an intelligent human being, and if I feed him something, he'll owe me a favor. The dog is not going to owe me a favor, right? I get no benefit from this. What's the chiddush of the Taz quoting the Marashal and the Toras Chatas and the Yisra Heter? The chiddush is that just doing something I want to do is considered hanah. I don't have to gain. I just have to accomplish a task. Even though I don't gain from feeding a stray dog, I'm accomplishing a task I wanted to accomplish. It makes me happy to feed stray dogs. That's considered hana'ah. It's a non-financial hana'ah. I'm not better off, right? It's not like I fed my dog, or I fed a human being who will owe me a favor, right? Where I sold it for money. But I just did something nice, and I feel good inside. Is feeling good inside considered hana or not? The taz pasta is considered hana. This is actually a machlokes, l'maisa, we'd be machmir. But it's not shel pashut. This all comes from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says you're not allowed to feed chametz to a stray dog, because by chametz it says, lo ye ochel. Okay, it's a big machlokes, Rishonim and Achronim. What does that mean? Is that only by chametz? Because by chametz is a special chumra of lo ye ochel? Maybe chametz, this is a big lundus, has a special chumra. If you can't cause it to be eaten at all, why would chametz have more chumras? And you would say you can't cause it to be eaten at all, because what else can't you do with chametz? Eat what? No, okay, but that's true of all Yisra'ina. Maybe chametz is the worst thing Yisra'ina says. If you can't even own it, you also can't cause it to be eaten. So it's machlokas. The grother thinks, and Or Chaim thinks it's a chumra of chametz. Nah, it's a chumra of chametz that you can't feed it to a stray dog. That's not true of all Yisra'ina. It's not hana, it's just a chumra of chametz. Why chumra of chametz? Chametz is a lot of chumras. However, the Tazir quotes big guns, right? The Ramah and the Marshal and the Yisra'ina Hatter who say it's not a chumra of chametz. It's the regular din of Yisra'i Hana. So here, we just have to have a little chakira. Iser lehachil chametz lekelev hefker the Gra and others say it's a din miyuchad v'chametz. Why? We're against chametz. The chametz is not just us around now. You can't even own chametz. Likewise, you can't cause it to be eaten. Lo yeyachil. But the, what did we just quote? Iser v'heter, the Maharshal, the Toras Chatos, which is the Ramah, and the Taz, say, nope, din miyuchad v'chametz, but it's not considered hana. So they say, no, it's considered hana. Nafkamina is, the Gro would say, you're allowed to feed bas v'chol to a stray dog. But the Taz would say you're not allowed to feed bas v'chol to a stray dog. This is just very fascinating. What's the getter of hana? Does hana mean you gain some concrete financial benefit? Or does hana just mean you're happy? The Taz thinks hana means you're happy. I'm happy feeding a stray dog. The Gra thinks, no, hana means you get a financial benefit. There's no financial benefit feeding a stray dog. That's only a chomer on chametz, because chametz has a lot of special isur. Okay, very fascinating. Machlokes, l'maisa, we'd be machlokes like the Gra. Like the Taz, rather, that maybe that's, being happy is hana. So if I'm happy feeding the birds, or I'm happy feeding a stray dog, that's hana. So what do I have to do with this bas v'chalav? Throw it in the toilet. In the toilet, I'm not getting any benefit whatsoever. Right? Even nowadays, you flush it down the toilet, there's no benefit whatsoever. I'm pretty sure nothing good comes of that. Okay. And in their days, there was certainly no benefit if you threw it in the outhouse. Now, that's the... Somewhat interesting question. The most interesting question is, what does it mean for the kaf and the kadeira to be asur v'hana? What does it mean that the kaf and the kadeira are asur v'hana? Right, shot. So, they don't focus much on the kaf, but it's the same, right? Kaf u kadeira. Asur v'hana. What does it mean for the kadeira to be asur v'hana? So, says the mechaber, let's read the mechaber. You could put in fruits or cold food. Since you're not nana from the gufa iser. What do you mean you're not nana from the gufa iser? Meaning I can use it for cold. Now, of course, if we then want to go back to Simon Sadi Aleph, what would the shach add? I can use it for cold. How much? Only? Only Barai can use it for cold, because otherwise the gzera that I might accidentally use it for hot. Okay, but I can use it for cold Barai at least. Or, you know, maybe there'd be some circumstance where there's no chance of confusion, maybe being able to use it permanently for cold, if you could imagine such a circumstance. I don't know if I somehow nailed it onto something where I would never get hot food there. But, so, says that, what does it mean I'm not nana from the gufa iser? I am nana from the pot. I'm using it to hold my food. So what does the mechaber mean there? What's the gufa iser?
I thought that we don't. Meaning there's a difference between the metal and the.
Exactly. The gufa iser is not the pot. What's the gufa iser? The blios in the pot. Right? And if I use the old cold things, I'm not nana from the blios in the pot.
It comes out that that's when we're saying we measure kinega the kadeira, right? Mm-hmm. It's just because we don't know how much of the kadeira is metal versus ta'am. in the metal.
Correct, exactly. Says the Machaber, the Kedera Atzma is Muteras Behanah. It's only the Blios, the Tochak Deira, that are Asurim. And therefore, I can't use the Kedera for hot food, because then I'm eating those Blios. But I can use the Kedera for cold food or for Peros.
Assuming like the pot is cleaned out.
Yeah, assuming it's cleaned out.
All the tomatoes.
Yeah, assuming it's cleaned out. Yes.
Why can't
if it's not cleaned out, then the shmutz masmachalov gets on my papers. Yes?
Why can't we have a big kula by when we get a pot, we should weigh it and then see how, or like whatever, and then
okay,
see how much
second.
Tom give, versus
okay,
metal
great.
Is.
Give me a second, okay? And therefore, give me a second. And therefore, nafamina is mutter lases latocha somin. Now, there's this famous Or Zeruah. The question is, what to do with this Or Zeruah? Says the Or Zeruah, what if I cook in this kedera? What if I then cook in the kedera? What if Bidi Eved, if I cook in the Kedera? So what are the two cases? If it is Ben Yomo within 24 hours, then the Tavshil is Usur, because it's got to be a Basar Chalov. That's easy enough. What if it is Eino Ben Yomo? What if I cook in the Kedera after 24 hours? Does it make the Tavshil Usur? No, it gives a Tam of Gan. But what does the Or Zeruah say? Says the Or Zeruah. Says the Or Zeruah. Yashlich Hanmei Hanoas Hakdeira. Right? Layam. I don't know exactly what he says. How do they quote it? Yashlich Lenahar. Okay. Meaning, I have to figure out what the benefit of the kedera was. It doesn't make my food treif, because it's time of gam. But I still have to figure out the benefit of the kedera. Let's say the use of the kedera was worth one shekel. I have to take one shekel, throw it in the ocean, so that I don't benefit, and then I'm okay. Says the shach. No. He just says it's mutter. What's the svar of the Or Zeruah? What's the svar of the Or Zeruah? Why does the Or Zeruah think I have to like throw a shekel into the garbage? Right? I don't even know if throwing the garbage would help, because maybe someone might sort the garbage and they might take out the money in the garbage processing plant, and then someone will use an isra. No. But I throw a shekel into the ocean. Pretty sure if you throw the shekel into the ocean, no one finds it. I don't know, like I never found the shekel at the beach. Just seashells. Seashells are a lot less dense than shekel.
Because they're all taken.
What?
They're all taken.
Oh, because they're all taken already. Anyway, what's the svar of the Or Zeruah?
I thought maybe it's because it's not totally bidyevid on every level. If like the pot can be fixed in theory by koshering it, like food, there's no way once it's used with ein bomo, it's bidyevid the whole davar minyan.
Interesting.
Meaning it's just a chumra ba'alma kaza. Like, I don't.
Okay, not, interesting. Interesting. Maybe you could do that also, but it's easier to just do a shekel in the garbage. I know of two svaras. Says the shach. What's the svara? Says the shach that the Or Zeruah holds. Dikidera. Atzma Asura Behana'a. The Or Zeruah holds the Kedera itself is Asura Behana'a. And therefore, I got Hana'a from the Kedera because it cooked my food. So what do I have to do? I have to undo the Hana'a I got from the Kedera before I eat my food. In which case, what would the Or Zeruah also hold? The M. Kane. Exactly. Or Zeruah Gam. Yes, or... Vlases Lisocha Peros. Right? It's also usher to keep fruits in this pot. As a matter of fact, not only fruits, it's usher to keep tennis balls in the pot. He thinks the pot itself becomes usher banah, even though we said it's a better story, the blias are usher banah. The pot itself is not usher b'chalav, the pot itself is mud, is baked, you know, is forged mud, you know, or metal, or whatever it may be. But maybe the Orzagura thinks the pot itself becomes usher banah. It's a big chiddush. But maybe he holds this big chiddush, the pot itself becomes a chefzer usher b'chalav. In which case, we now have two opinions. Or Zarua. Lefisha says the Kedera Atzma is Asura Behana, and therefore Nafgumina is Asur Lases Lesocha Shumdavar. Even baseballs you're not allowed to put. You're not allowed to put in there. Even hammers you're not allowed to put in there because you're not allowed to use the kedira at all. That's the shach shot in the Rosarua, in which case says the shach, and we don't hold like the Rosarua because it's against the machaber. Says shach machlokas machaber or zarua. Right? So the shach says there's a machlokas machaber and the Rosarua, and we hold like the machaber. However, if you look in the Prima Gadim on the Prima Gadim says, in Sivkat and Yud Aleph, a lot of people hold like the Shach, but the Minchas Yaakov is a different pshat. Says the Minchas Yaakov, no, there's no machlokes between the Shach and the Or Zavura. The Or Zavura, of course, doesn't think the Kedera itself becomes a Chefter Bas B'Cholav. That's silly. The Kedera can't be a Chefter Bas B'Cholav. It's not food. Rather, what's pshat in the Minchas Yaakov? No, Likuli Alma. Hakedera atzma muteres v'rak hablios shebekedera asurim v'hanoa. Ah, and l'kuli alma, you can put peros in this pot. Ah, so what's the story of the Orzarua? He says, and here again, we have to go back and remember the discussion we had about the real Lavan and the Bach and the Taz, about the case of the guy who was mafka olive oil with his friend. And don't imagine modern-day metal pots. Imagine old-fashioned cheres pots. Old-fashioned cheres pots, trust me, when Chazal said they're bolea a ton, they're mamish bolea a ton. If you take an old-fashioned cheres pot and you just put like a little broth in it, that broth will just disappear. It'll go into the pot. Like, it won't be like blios that you have to, on the abstract, understand the concept of blios. Like, your mom is just, it'll disappear, it'll be in the pot. Says the, but remember what we learned from the real Lavan? If you cook in the pot, your food will disappear into the pot. Unless, when will your food not go into the pot?
Go 3 times.
If it's full of blios, then it won't absorb anymore. So, okay, maybe it'll exchange. But now he says the Menachas Yaakov, very pashut. Let's say I'm cooking 100-ounce soup. In a new pot, I would come out with only 99 ounces. 1 ounce would get absorbed into the cheres. But since this pot is full of blios and basar b'chalav, it's full of blios, and now I get 100 ounces of soup because I don't lose anything in the cheres. So I'm not just benefiting from, I'm not benefiting the pot only. I'm benefiting from the blios because the blios fill up the pores in the cheres and preserve my soup. I now have an extra ounce of soup because the blios of basar b'chalav satiated the pot. What's the word really when something is full of liquid? Saturated, that's it. The blios of basar b'chalav saturated the pot, and that saturation gave me an extra ounce of soup to eat for dinner. So I'm mamish nana from the blios. I'm not nana from the blios in the normal way of eating blios, but I'm nana from the blios, right? So that's what he says. They can nana make etzem hablios shetsavu es hakdeira, they saturate the kadeira, kadei shelo yema'et shir hatavshel. The only reason I started with 100 ounces and ended with 100 ounces and I didn't lose an ounce to the kadeira, I'm sure, by the way, if you ask people, I don't know, the people who make like wine or something in wood barrels, I'm sure like they fill up the barrel and they end up with less wine because some of it goes into the wood. But if they would have barrels that were used many times, They wouldn't end up with less wine, because the wood's already saturated. I haven't checked with them. So he says the Orzarua, that's because, now says the Orzarua, that all depends on the circumstances, right? But in a circumstance where this Blios Basur Chol are saturating your pot, then you're netted from the Blios, because that's why you didn't lose volume.
So why don't you just throw the Blios?
And that's what the Orzarua meant. He didn't mean the dumb, and it's a reinterpreter. What the Orzarua didn't mean the amount it would cost to rent a pot to cook in. He meant the amount of blia, the amount of loss of volume that you don't have. Exactly. If you had 100 ounces of soup, it would have been 99 without the saturation, 1 ounce of soup. He reinterprets how to cheshbon the demei blios. And that's what he says here. In which case, nowadays, the Minchas Yaakov wouldn't apply. Because our metal pots, even if you say they have blios, but you don't actually lose volume, right? If you put 100 ounces into the metal pot, I'm not talking about what might evaporate. Nothing goes into the metal. No significant quantity of volume goes into the metal pots. So he only applied in the old days. He would not have enough gmina for us nowadays when we don't use charis. None of our kalim actually are so absorbent that you lose volume because it gets absorbed into the kli.
In their olden day metal, like the cast iron, it didn't absorb actual stuff?
Or? I'm going to assume not a significant quantity.
Are pots actually good blias?
Maybe, maybe not. Depends who you ask.
Once you're going to assume that, you might as well assume both.
No, there's getting blios and there's getting a measurable quantity. Those are two different things.
Well, can you explain the demay or not?
What's the demay? The nafkamina is what's the demay? Demay equals rental of a pot. For the shot, shot in the Ozerua, demay means how much it would cost to rent a pot because you're nana from the pot. For the Minchas Yaakov shot in the Ozerua, demay equals, what is the demay k'deira? It doesn't mean the rental value of a pot. Equals the soup you would have lost. If it hadn't been saturated, you would have lost a shekel worth of soup. So the demay k'deira is a shekel. So it's two different shatim in the Ozerua. According to the shaf shat, the k'deira itself becomes also a big chiddush, and you have to figure out how much it would cost you to rent a pot and throw that in the ocean. According to the Mechaz Yaakov, shot in the Orzarua, no, he's not talking about renting a pot. The pot's not us. You just need the blios. You have to figure out how much soup would have been lost if those blios were not saturating the pot. And you have to value that soup and throw that amount into the ocean. Okay, two different shatim in what demei k'deira means. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? All the later achronim paskin like the shach. L'maisa, we don't paskin like the Orzarua. Even the Mechaz Yaakov shot of the Orzarua. We don't pass. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant nowadays anyway. Yeah?
Does the Orzarua explicitly say that you can't put in the peros into the pot?
No, he doesn't. That's a matter of our conjecture.
Because he does say you throw the main kedera out, but shouldn't he also say he means to throw the kedera out? You can't have the kedera.
Okay, the Shach would say that's what he meant. He didn't get around to saying it in those words. But he said something which we understood.
No, if you put cold fruit in, then you still have demei.
Wait, if you put cold fruit in, there is no demei k'deira because like the k'deira didn't actually give you anything. Like if I put oranges in this pot, I don't have to throw anything in the ocean because it hasn't benefited me. The oranges would have been just as good not in the pot. So it's not like if I cook now, I benefited. Yeah. No one would have rented a pot to put oranges in.
So why can't I do that then?
What? No, because l'chatchila, you can't get hana even if it's like even if it's negligible.
So what if I wanted to put like aroma sense in it?
I want to use it for air freshener or something, right? I want to put this in my bathroom with like nice little, whatever you call it, what do you call the stuff you put in the bathroom? The nice smell? The potpourri. That's the word I was looking for. I'm going to put potpourri in it to make a nice smell in my bathroom. So according to the shach, that's fine. According to the shach, tar of the Ozerua, that's not okay. But according to the Minchas Yaakov, tar of the Ozerua, that's fine.
But that's the same thing as like...
That's like peros.
So then how about like something that you actually need benefit from like the bowl shape, like a bird feeder or something, like water...
So if you actually benefit from it, then according to the Mechaber and the Minchas Yaakov's shot of the Orzarua would be okay, like Peros. Even payrolls, I do benefit from it. I mean, I don't benefit from it concretely, like now my payrolls are worth more, but if I need to carry my payrolls from place to place, I'm benefiting, right? You try carrying, here's 30 oranges, right? Bring them up Rehov Devdavani, right? Here's 30 oranges in a basket, bring them up Rehov Devdavani. Two very different things, right? So you're still benefiting from it. Okay, I just mentioned, I'm not going to get into it, the Taz here brings in a chiddush that he thinks that from the Maharshal, that what do they say here? You're even allowed to cook in it if you cook non-food items. If you cook non-food items, says the Rama in the Toras Chatas, you're even allowed to cook non-food items. So, nafkamina, this is the Machaber. Sorry. A little quiet by accident. This is the Machaber, nafkamina. Says the Toras Chatas, he said, even mutter lehochein bo, you're even mutter to cook in it, I'll put the modern Hebrew if you'll allow, right? I'll just put English. Right? That is the Toras Chatas. Toras Chatas, you're even allowed to cook shampoo. You're not allowed to cook food. Why? Because if you cook food, you're eating these osur blios. But you're allowed to cook shampoo because since you're not eating it, since you're not benefiting from it, meaning if shampoo would be better because the blias basar v'chol, that would be usr. But blias basar v'chol don't help shampoo. Remember, only like ashes help shampoo, right? Basar v'chol, I don't know, nowadays they probably basar v'chol shampoo, they have all kinds of fats, right? Oatmeal shampoo and this and that. But in the old days, no, shampoo was good old ashes and other soaps, right? So you're even allowed to cook non-food items because that's like putting cold food. You're not actually eating the blias. As long as you're not eating the blias, that's okay. So you're even allowed to cook here. This machluk is the Marshal says you're allowed to cook soap for shampoo, but you're not allowed to cook water for shampoo because the water could be drinkable. Who says you could make it in shampoo? You could drink it. So here you have a technical machlokas. Are you allowed to cook? Clearly, you're not allowed to cook water to drink because then you're drinking the blios of treif. Clearly, you're allowed to cook soap because you're not eating any treif and you're just using the pot. Are you allowed to cook water to then make shampoo out of it? Marshal says no, because since you could drink the water, there it goes, or don't cook any food. Rama says yes, because you're not cooking it for food purposes. Okay, that seems to be a very technical machlokas, just what really goes on.
Is actual basar v'chalav and shampoo mutter also?
So, again, if we assume that basar v'chalav doesn't make the shampoo any more effective, then yes, because you're not being benefited from the basar v'chalav. Again, if someone has a shita nowadays, or no, they discovered that if you mix this kind of milk and this kind of meat, it actually makes it clean your hair better. Then that's a problem for men for the basar v'chalav. But if we assume that's not what they're discussing, of course, the meat taste and the milk bleals don't make it clean your hair better. It's just like we have a pot and we can't use it for food, so is there any way we could use this pot? Oh, yeah, send it to the shampoo corner. Okay, so then you're not benefiting from the basar v'chalav. The chiddush is, not only are you allowed to put cold in it because you're not benefiting from the bleals, you're even allowed to cook non-foods in it because you're not benefiting from the bleals. But you're not allowed to cook foods in it because then you're eating the bleals. And if you eat the bleals within 24 hours, you're eating treif. And if you eat the bleals after 24 hours, it's like zero up to within 24 hours. Okay, so much for Sif Gimel if there's no other questions. Sif Dalet. yeah, you got this, right? Sif Dalet. Oh, no, this didn't get us yet. Okay, I'll have to redo it before you take a picture. Not to worry, I'll redo it. Okay, Sif Dalet, Eina Kaf Ben Yomo, Hakdeira V'Tafshu Mutarim. If the Kaf is not Ben Yomo, then there's no room for Machlokas, there's no Basar V'Chalav, you're pretty good. Tzavi Dalet Dalet, here we have the Kaf is not Ben Yomo, even if it's one. And the Tavshu is only 59. So tak, it's not batul shishim, but it doesn't matter. Because zeinu ben yomo, and it gives a tam lifgam, and now you have a tam lifgam of milk going into meat, and that's not basar v'chalav at all, but you have it. Obviously, the chachilu you can't stir with a milk spoon, but you have it, it's fine. The hakdira tavshu matarim, v'akaf asu l'chachilu b'inim basar b'inim chalav mikol makom, but you have it, ain't no seris kemish l'hoysa bas yomo. Here, there's no lumbus. It's very, very simple. What's the result? The tavshil is mutter. Why? Because it's just a milk, it's just a fleshy top shell with a tamlifgam of milk. That doesn't hurt it. The kadera is mutter because it's just covering a kosher top shell. The calf is asura. Why? Because it has blios of chalav, and now it got blios of basar. And again, we assume basar doesn't kasher out the blios of chalav. Right now, will this asur? And here, for sure, there's no chanan in the calf. Why? Because the blios of chalav are in a ben yomo, right? And asura, but definitely not chanan. Definitely not chanan, because of chalav and ben yomo. You never had a mixture of good taste of milk and good taste of meat. And therefore, if you recall the shach, I think he'll repeat here what he said there. He doesn't repeat it. But what he said earlier in Tzadik Gimel is that it's technically mutter to use for parith. That's the lashon of the mechaber. Also, chachila beinim basar beinim chalav. But the minute is we don't use it at all. Right? So, if the shach instead of Simon Tzadik Gimel says that asur lehagis bo chalav, you're not allowed to stir chalav because it has blios of basar. Asur lehagis bo basar, because it has blios of chalav. Mutter lahagis bo yirakos, because it has no blios of treif. It has blios of milk and meat. Yeah, but the milk was ain't a ben yomo, so it can never make treif. But the shach in Simon Tzadik Gimel says the minhag is to aser even for parv. Okay, now, what happens if you stir with a spoon? There's no shah as chanan. You don't get to that fancy shach and bach, etc. What happens if you stir with a spoon? Then very poshut. If then, if you then, bidyevet, stir meat, it's mutter. Why? Because it has no time of trace. It's just, it has blius of meat. Meat and meat are fine. It has blius of milk. Those are ain't a ben yomo. Right? What if you stir milk? Then even though the mechaber says, bidyevet ain't oseres, the shachan tas boy now. Don't be silly. Right? If you stir milk within 24 hours, then of course the milk is asur. Why? Because you stirred meat and you stirred milk 23 hours later. Like, there's no lumbus there, that's pashut. And the mechaber didn't imply that because it was too obvious. Okay, that part is obvious. Now, you could stop the recording. Can I just ask where everyone is up to in Seder preparation?